Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
How do you pray? To whom do you pray? Do you pray to the Father? Do you pray to God? Do you pray to the Holy Spirit? Do you pray to Jesus? To whom do you pray? You may ask the question, is it appropriate to pray to the Holy Spirit? Is it biblically correct to pray to Jesus? Is it okay if I just pray to God the Father or the Lord Jesus? A lot of us are confused at this point and really don't have a clear answer to that. To whom do you pray? To whom do I pray?
The truth is, you have a loving Father waiting to hear from you. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, The God Who Is Dad, and shares how you can pray with confidence and expectation to your Heavenly Father. Stay with us. That encouraging message is coming up on The Winning Walk. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, the God who created you in His image desires an intimate relationship with you. But we weaken that relationship when we fail to exercise our mind in loving Him. Dr. Young wants to help you tap into the riches of your relationship with Christ with his four-message series, Know the Bible in the Beginning. It'll help you engage His truth with your heart, soul, and mind. We'll send you a copy of Know the Bible in the Beginning as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. And you can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, God is Dad.
Hope you have your Bibles open to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 6, Matthew 6. I'll read verse 6 through verse 9. Jesus is speaking, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to the Father who is in secret, and you, Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they'll be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How do you pray? To whom do you pray? Do you pray to the Father? Do you pray to God? Do you pray to the Holy Spirit? Do you pray to Jesus? To whom do you pray? You may ask the question, is it appropriate to pray to the Holy Spirit? Is it biblically correct to pray to Jesus? Is it okay if I just pray to God the Father or the Lord Jesus? To whom do you pray? To whom do I pray? A lot of us are confused at this point and really don't have a clear answer to that, but we can get it from the Scripture. Jesus, in John chapter 5, spends almost the whole chapter saying one thing. I and the Father, Jesus says, we're one. Jesus and the Father are one. Therefore, we can pray to the Father or we can pray to Jesus. In John 14, Jesus says, when I leave, I'm going to send you a comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. And we can pray to the Holy Spirit. And as we begin to pray, sometimes it seems appropriate to pray to the Father for wisdom, for encouragement, for guidance, for leadership. Sometimes it seems we pray to Jesus. We're thinking about forgiveness and salvation, and He is our intercessor between us and God. And sometimes we pray to the Holy Spirit to lead us, to fill us, to guide us. So it's appropriate to pray to any one of these in the Trinity. Now, let me tell you, you do not pray unless you pray in or through Jesus. We hear a lot of prayers, and they just say, amen. That's okay. The only problem is the prayer didn't even get off the ground. The only basis upon which you and I can pray to God the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son. We can't just barge in there. We're not chummy-chummy, buddy-buddy with God, except we pray through Jesus Christ. That opens up heaven for us. No other way does it open heaven. No other way do you get into heaven. And we pray according to relationships. You meet a stranger on the street. What can you ask that stranger? You might can ask them where you are. Where am I? How do you get to? They understand that. They've all been lost. Or you might ask the stranger, what time is it? My watch is not working. Very few pastors' watches work, if you noticed. And you might ask that. But you can't, you can go just so far, see, with asking a stranger something. You can't say, hey, let's go have lunch together. You've never seen them before on the street. See, that's too far. So we go too far with God unless we pray through Jesus Christ. And unless we know Jesus Christ, we cannot pray through Jesus Christ. And God hears our prayers. We have no basis upon which for them to be answered unless we pray in Jesus' name. So how do we pray? This is how we pray. To help this be straight, I want you to look on your screens. There's a little graph there. I got this from an old Presbyterian book. Don't tell anybody it came from the Presbyterian. That's a secret. But I think it helps us understand. There is God. See, God the Son. God is the Holy Spirit. God is the Father. God is the Son. But look at the circumference. The Father is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Son. And the Son is not the Father. See the difference? There's three, but there's one. To help us understand it, maybe you could think about H2O. That's about all the chemistry I remember. H, two parts, hydrogen, O, one part, oxygen. H2O, you can find it in three different forms. You can find it as a gas, or you could find it as steam, I guess would be more appropriate. You could find it in ice. You can find it in liquid form. So you have steam and ice and liquid, and you analyze each and every one of them. What are you going to find in all three? H2O. And there is a state, someone told me last night, in which all of the elements of H2O, the solid and the gas and the liquid, can be together at one time at a certain state. So this is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And this helps us to know to whom we pray. We can pray to all three and through all three to the Father, to God. Now, we go to our scripture and we begin a study of the Lord's Prayer. You say, well, I know the Lord's Prayer. But I can tell you, as I have looked at the Lord's Prayer again, I see depth there that I had never seen before. And by the way, if we handed out a survey sheet, which I hate to do, I hate surveys. I don't believe in them. I don't practice them. You call me on the phone to fill out some survey, you will get a quick pew. But that's just me. But we handed out a survey today and asked this worshiping evangelical congregation, what would you like to know? What would you like to know? What would you like to learn? The overwhelming answer would be, every time this poll has been taken, I want to really know how to pray. I want to know how to pray. I want to know somehow between birth and death, I can really talk to God and God will hear me and I can listen to Him. I want to know how to pray. That's the overwhelming answer to every survey that's been taken. So here we're talking about prayer. You say, how did this verse come to be? How did this scene take place? Where did the Lord's Prayer come from? Remember, the disciples observed Jesus as he walked with him those days and weeks and years, and they saw something in him they'd never seen in anybody else. And they tried to figure it out, as you and I would if we had been one of those disciples. And they couldn't figure it out, except they said, you know, every time he goes off and prays, every time he seeks the Father, every time he withdraws to the mountain, every time he goes to that little cove, every time he goes in hiding, he comes back and, man, there's power there. And they saw this power in his words, in his miracles, and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And he gave them the Lord's Prayer, which is a form and a model for us to follow in prayer. What do you mean by that? It is a form. The Lord's Prayer begins with, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It begins with the Lord. It begins in a triumphant. It begins with a transcendent understanding. In other words, God is saying, before you pray, don't just babble out something. Make sure you understand you're in his presence. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The awesomeness of Almighty. That's where we begin to pray. That's the form. That's the form. And then the middle of the prayer are the petitions. The person of God we honor, then the petition. Give me daily bread. Forgive me. Lead me. Petitions come in. Very practical praying. That's where you and I live. Practical praying. And then the end of the prayer is praise. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. There's praise. So there's a recognition of the personhood of God. That's where we begin. The petitions, a request that we have, practical daily requests that we should never take for granted. Then finally, we end our prayer with praise. That's the pattern. That's the outline of prayer that Jesus gave to us as he gave to the early disciples. Now, as we begin our study, we'll be here for many, many weeks. Let's begin by praying together the Lord's Prayer. And as we pray, we'll use trespasses instead of debts, okay? Either one is right. We're all debtors and we all trespass, but let's use trespasses for the sake of unity and togetherness, because you have two accounts of the Lord's Prayer. You have it in Luke 11 and you have it here in Matthew 6. But let's now pray together, if you would, the Lord's Prayer. Pray it resoundingly, if you would. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Dear Jesus Christ, speak in this service. Teach us, we pray. Let me get out of the way. Always in the name of your Son, we offer this petition. In Jesus' name, amen. Is anyone out there? Is anyone up there? Is when we make a cry, is there any answer? Is there someone like us out there, but yet unlike us out there? That kind of question has been asked through the ages. Through the ages. G. Studdard Kennedy, one of the great men of the last generation, who fought in the First World War. If you know your history, in the First World War, for many, many months, they had the trench of the Allies and the trench of the enemy, and they fought trench warfare. One group would charge the other. One troop would charge the other. They would come out of their trenches. They would go back in their trenches. This went on for month after month after month. And Kennedy said, as a soldier, I was trapped one day between the trenches in the middle of the night. He said, I was lying still. So as the darkness came in, I saw a presence. And he said, I wanted to say, who goes there? But he said, I didn't know whether my words would be answered by a bullet. He was in no man's land. Or a friendly response. Or silence. And he said, therefore, I just continued to lie there still and did not move. Kennedy says, many years later, I was in a moor walking at night. All I could hear was the boom of the waves and the whistle of the wind. And he said, as I was walking by that moor, suddenly I felt a presence. Presence. And he said, it was frightening. It was overwhelming. He said, I didn't know what to do. I felt just like that between the lines during the war. And he said, I wanted to shout out, but I didn't know whether the answer would be silence or the presence would speak. And he said, but on that night in the moor, I made my cry and I asked, who goes there? And he said, I got my answer. I've never forgotten it. It changed my life. He said, had I not got that answer, my soul would have been dead. And he said, I realized then I was in the presence of God. God. Who goes there? Jesus would answer and say, our Father, our Dad, our Abba. That's who goes there. That's who's up there, out there, in here with us, our Father. Now, a lot of people think that when Jesus said Abba, Dad, that affectionate word, that was the first time that anybody had ever called God Father. That's simply not true. The Greeks had a name, and they would call God Father in the sense he was the Father of all. In the Old Testament, you have the name Father referred to by God seven different times. But it's like God is our Father. God is the head. God is the progenitor. God is our Father. It's used like that. But when Jesus here in our passage says, our Abba, our Father, our Dad, oh, that's different. Therefore, in the New Testament, you have the word Father used 275 times. Our Father. Who goes there? It is that cry that has been offered out in time and history by gurus and philosophers and seekers and religious leaders. They have issued that cry and they've got a multiplicity of answers. Who goes there? Who is out there? So many, many answers we have heard and we have received. And there we have all the religions, all the creeds, all the cults, all the philosophies that we know anything about. It's an answer basically to that question. Is there anybody out there? Is there anybody alive in this universe? Are we orphans in this world, or is there somebody at home here with us, the other? Who goes there? Who goes there? Let me say something to you. If you can pray our Father, all the isms are invalid. Now understand that. There are a whole lot of isms running around, a whole lot of beliefs, a whole lot of doctrines, a whole lot of ideologies. But if you can pray our Father, really pray our Father, all the isms are yesterday. They're invalid. They're not true. For example, atheism. Now, I know there are different levels of these. I'm going to give you the pedestrian level. Atheism. Is there people who are atheists? David Hume is the leading philosopher of atheism. And atheism believed there is no God. They made their cry, is anybody out there? And the answer was silence. Therefore, the atheists say, there is no God. Richter, the philosopher, said, I had a dreadful dream, and I soared out into the universe, and I went to all the planets. I went out in the cosmos. I went out in the bottom of the black hole, and I came back, and I went over the earth and all the created order. And he said, I did not find God. No God. Atheism. It's like the Russian cosmonaut who went into outer space. The first time he came back, he said, I didn't see God. I didn't see God. There's no God. Atheism. But if you can pray, our Father, our Abba, atheism is invalid. If you can pray, our Father, agnosticism is invalid. What is that? It means I don't know. Is there a God? I just don't know. I don't have enough information. It is the know-nothing belief. And the father of agnosticism, the philosopher, is a man by the name Immanuel Kant. Isn't that interesting? Immanuel means God with us. He is the father of agnosticism. He's saying you can't know whether he's with us or not. Interesting. Agnosticism. But if you can pray our Father, agnosticism invalid. And then there's pantheism, the idea that God is in everything. God is and God is in everything. In pantheism, you can't distinguish between the creator and the creation because they are one. This is basically Hinduism and Buddhism, that God is impersonal. God is an it, I-T. God is an it, not personal. Therefore, you have pantheism. But if you can pray our Father, pantheism goes away. And if you can pray our Father, also polytheism, the idea there are many gods. In ancient Rome, there were over 30,000 gods and goddesses for everything. Can you imagine it? Sure you can. There are more than that in the world today. Pantheism, many, many, many gods. But if you have narrowed it down to one will, to one Father, to an Abba, there's no polytheism.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Isaiah 43:18-19a. In the 16th century, most of London, England was destroyed by fire. Famed architect Sir Christopher Wren designed a magnificent master plan for the reconstruction of that great city. The calamity had offered an opportunity to build London in a better way, a more efficient way. However, a peculiar trend began to take place. People chose to rebuild their homes and buildings on their old foundations just as they had been before the fire. How often have you and I missed opportunities to build better and go deeper with God? Like the Londoners, we settle for the same old thing, the expedient, the comfortable, and the familiar. God makes all things new, including you and me. So don't miss it. Don't work on improving yourself on your old foundation. Let Him make you brand new.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love the chance to help you deepen your walk with Christ by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series called Know the Bible in the Beginning. Many of us have loved God passionately with our hearts, just as we loved Him with our lifestyles or our souls, but we've allowed our minds to rest, and in doing so, we have forgotten the Bible. Dr. Young's four-message series, Know the Bible in the Beginning, will help you tap into the riches of your relationship with Christ by engaging with His truth, heart, soul, and mind. We're excited to send you a copy of Know the Bible in the Beginning as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for listening to The Winning Walk today. Join us again tomorrow to hear the conclusion to Dr. Young's message and be encouraged to cry out to the God who is your loving Father.